Go ahead and open up to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I got a message from the Lord for you tonight. It's called A Little Something Extra. A Little Something Extra. Exodus chapter 3. And before we start reading, I'm just going to pray. God Almighty, I thank you, Lord, that you are everything that you say you are and you never fail. Lord, we thank you, God, that you have purchased us with your own blood. God, I thank you that not only have you forgiven us of our sins, but you've given us of your Spirit. And I thank you that we can have all of you that we want. God, I thank you, Lord, that there is no reason for any Christian in this house tonight to be empty, because in you we're full, and we can have all of you, Lord, all of you. So God, I pray tonight that where we're lacking, you would fill up that gap in us, Lord God. Jesus, I thank you for the wonderful worship you blessed us with tonight. Thank you for the testimony that we heard, oh God. Thank you for the before and after pictures that we have in our own lives, God. We pray, Lord, that you would have your will tonight. Everything that's in your heart, come and do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, a little something extra. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. How many of you have ever seen that 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston? Name like Charlton, you better be a boss. And he was. You haven't lived until you've seen a Charlton Heston movie. How about The Prince of Egypt? Yeah, a little more to this generation, I guess. You know, but in both of those movies, they're retelling the story of Moses, through film. And there's one thing they both have in common that drives me nuts and is completely unbiblical. Now, I'm not here to ruin a movie for you tonight. And I'm not calling them evil either, so don't take it beyond what I'm actually saying. But there's one thing that they both do that is completely unbiblical, and I want to correct it tonight. Because it's actually one of the most wonderful promises that God has given to us. And if you go with the way the movie portrays it, you're going to miss it. Did you ever notice how in both films, when Moses finds the burning bush, this particular story that we just read, it's always hidden in some off-camera space. It's in a cave. It's on a mountain. You know, Charlton Heston's got to climb all the way to the top of the mountain to see the burning bush. I don't know how he sees it from the bottom, but he does. And he says, I need to climb up and go see this thing. He comes down. He's got the big white bushy beard. In the Prince of Egypt, in the cartoon from the 90s, he goes into that cave chasing after a lost sheep, and there's the bush just hidden away. I don't know how a bush would be growing in a cave, but it is. It's there. You know, in both cases, it's off in some hidden location, and Moses has to go out of his way to have this encounter with God. But when you read the Bible, that's not what was happening. He was just in the pasture. He was feeding the sheep. It was all out in there in the open, and all of a sudden he notices this bush is on fire. And you know, the thing is, when you think about the Hebrew word for this bush, all it was a thistle. It was a very small, thorn-covered bush. There was nothing special about it. It was not a mighty oak tree that God appeared in. It was a tiny, insignificant, thorn-covered bush. If Moses had ever noticed it at all, it would have been maybe just, it was a very dry plant. He would have wanted to start a fire with it. There was nothing special about this bush. And not only that, but there were a million other bushes just like it within that vicinity because he's in the desert. So there's nothing special about this book. But the reason why it catches his attention is not because of what it is, but because of what's happening to it. It blends in with the scenery. There's nothing about the bush that makes it special. The bush is unattractive. The bush is unnoticeable. The bush is basically useless. It stands among a thousand other bushes just like it. But because of what's happening to the bush, he cannot help but be amazed, and he's got to go up to it and find out what is going on here. He's absolutely amazed by what's taking place. So don't go with the movie. The movie is wrong. The Bible says it was right out there in the open. And what's very interesting to me, you have an ordinary guy in an ordinary place. He's probably pastured his flock there hundreds of times before. He had probably walked past that bush before. But all of a sudden, God shows up and he says, "You're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes." So completely ordinary circumstance, completely ordinary situation, but God comes on the scene. And everything changes. Everything goes from being ordinary to extraordinary. Thus the title of the message tonight. You know, when I worked in Africa, I was there for about half a year. I heard a guy just sharing one morning during a devotional time, and he said, "You know, the only difference between something being ordinary and extraordinary is something extra. That's the only difference. You can make something special. It doesn't have to be special in and of itself. Something just has to be added to it." And that's pretty much what's happening with this little bush here. It was a small, insignificant thistle that was one of a thousand there in that field. But because of what was happening to it, because the fire of God was upon it, it had to be noticed. And it caused amazement. And the ground was called holy. And you know, there's nothing pretty about it. Moses would have tried to avoid it. But again, it wasn't what the bush was. It's what was happening to the bush. And so, of all the ways that God could appear, why a bush? Why this particular way? Of all the ways for God to manifest himself to a person. Now, mind you, let's think about what's happening. Moses has been living in the desert for 40 years keeping sheep. It's an unpleasant, smelly job. He was living in the wealthy palaces of Egypt. He was educated. He had the world at his fingertips. And he left it all because he wanted to follow the call of God. And trying to follow the call of God wound him up in the desert for 40 years. And now God shows up and he's about to tell him, "I'm going to send you back to turn the most powerful nation in the world upside down." So this is not like some light thing, you know. He's not saying, "Moses, go dig a hole, please." He's telling him, "You're going to go fight against the most powerful nation that is in existence right now in human history." And so he chooses to show up in a bush. You would think he would part the heavens and come down and give Moses a really spectacular show just to make sure he's convinced. "No, this is God speaking, and what I'm asking you to do is divine, and I'm going to give you the strength to do it." But no, he comes upon this tiny little insignificant shrub, a thistle of all things, something unpleasant. How many of you have been hiking before? Or walked in some form of nature, and you know, you came in contact with a sticker bush, a thistle bush. And the worst is when you're walking in the woods with shorts on and those suckers grab you right by the leg, you know, and yeah, exactly. So that's the kind of bush that we're dealing with here. That's the kind of bush we're dealing with. And listen, guys, God is never haphazard in his actions. He's never random. God is deliberate in the way that he does things. He always has a plan. You will never find God flying by the seat of his pants. You will never find God scratching his head, "Oh, I wasn't ready for that one. What do I do now?" He's not like that. He always knows. He is omniscient. He always knows what the next step is, and he is always prepared for that step and the step after that. He's always ready. So God had a reason for showing up in this bush. And I'm going to put it to you this way. I believe God was showing Moses a preview of what his ministry would be. I think he was giving him a preview of his ministry. You see, when you read in Acts chapter 7, this is where Stephen, he was the first martyr, the first person to die for Jesus, you know, to die for the honor of God in the New Testament. And one of the things he says about Moses was that before Moses went into the desert to follow the call of God, it says he was powerful in word and in action. He was a very well-known man. He was prominent. He was educated. He was a powerful man, the Bible says. And then he goes into the desert for 40 years. And when we read in the book of Exodus in chapter 4, he says, God, I'm not mighty in word or in deed. I'm slow of tongue. I can't speak. You're sending the wrong guy. So this is the guy who before wanted to follow the call of God, and now he's like, God, I think you got the wrong person here. You're looking to the wrong person to fill this call here, to fill this role. But the whole time, I think that's exactly what God was looking for. Because, see, God had brought him to the place where, you know, Moses may at once upon a time thought of himself as a mighty oak tree of faith. You know, I'm educated. I'm mighty in word and in deed. I'm ready to lead the people out of bondage and into the promised land. And God was basically telling him, I have no interest in using you while you're in this frame of mind. So God takes him into the desert for 40 years, brings him to the point where he feels like he's absolutely useless, where all of his skills are completely gone, everything that he leaned on before. He goes from being a mighty oak tree to being a little thistle bush, to being just one of a thousand others. There's nothing special about him anymore. He's gone from being a prince to being a shepherd. No amount of elegance, no amount of royalty in his life any longer. Nothing special about him. And that's when God says, now I'm ready to use you. Now I'm ready to use your life. Because see, guys, God has no interest in using someone who thinks they are extraordinary in and of themselves. God wants the ordinary. He wants the nothings and the nobodies of our society, because he wants to come upon them by the power of his Spirit, and he wants to make the difference. See, listen, if you're ordinary, you're useful to God. If you're ordinary, just a regular Joe, you know what I mean? Just, I don't really have anything special to offer. There's really not much to me. God says, you're a prime candidate for kingdom work. You're a prime candidate for my anointing. You're a prime candidate for a calling of God upon your life. Because see, guys, God does not think the same way that we do. He doesn't. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 very quickly. It says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Jesus Christ. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. See, guys, listen, you and I tonight are in the same position as Moses. There is nothing special about me. There really isn't. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I have to wake up and look at myself in the mirror, and I know where all of my thorns are. I know every one of my thorns. I know everything about me that makes me unpleasant, that makes me hard to deal with, that makes me hard to bear, even with myself. When I'm alone, forget anybody else, what they think of me. I have a hard enough trouble at times dealing with what I think of myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have those days you look in the mirror and you see every thorn on you. You see every thorn, everything about you that makes you undesirable, that makes you less than perfect, everything that makes you less than what you think God wants you to be. But listen, it was a little thistle bush in the desert that God came upon by his Spirit. He didn't choose a big, beautiful looking shrub with all kinds of leaves on it. that birds were nesting in and, you know, deer were resting under, you know, just get the most romantic, silly picture in your mind that you can. He didn't choose that. He chose the ugliest bush in the field. And he said, that's how I'm going to reveal myself to this man, because that's what he is. He's nothing but a little insignificant thistle bush, but when my spirit comes upon him, that's going to make all the difference. God was basically saying, I'm going to be the difference between ordinary and extraordinary. The weight's not on you. Some of you are here tonight, you're carrying a lot of expectations. You look at yourself wondering, when am I going to get it? When am I going to get this? I thought things were supposed to be different by now. Shouldn't I be a little different than what I was before? Well, yeah. But the thing is, it's not your job to take yourself there. It's not your job to bring about the different, if I could put it that way. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Guys, I want to tell you something. God wants to use you, thorns and all. God has called you, thistles and all. He knew your issues when he called you. He knew every dirty thing that was in here and in here. And every dirty thing that was on these hands when he called you. And he didn't command you to fix yourself up and then you would be useful to him. He called you as an insignificant, tiny thistle bush. And he said, I'm going to put my spirit upon you. And that's going to make the difference. Guys, I want to tell you something. The weight is not on you. The weight is not on you at all. I remember when I finished my first year at Summit, it was Mount Zion then, I went home and I was just going to be Joe Holy the whole summer, man. And I'll tell you what, Summit, you get long summer breaks. I mean, between your first and second year, it's a four-month vacation. It's long. It's really long, you know. And I went home and I'm thinking, I am going to be Mr. Holy. I am going to be Super Saiyan Christian, level 3, you know, for the whole summer long. I'm just going to have it. This is going to be it. You know, I've got a year of Bible school under my belt, and I'm just going to show that devil. I'm going to show my flesh. I'm going to show my family, and it's going to be awesome. I lasted about a week, literally about a week. And I'm telling you, I just got lower and lower from there. Because the thing is, when you have the expectation on yourself, when you're looking to your performance as your validation as a Christian, you've actually got you at the center of your salvation. You've taken Jesus and you've put him in the passenger seat and you've put yourself there in the middle. You're basically saying, my performance is the plumb line. My performance is the gauge for how Christian I am. But that's not it. Because you know what? God didn't look in Moses and say, Moses, your growth, your lack of thorns, so to speak, that's going to be the gauge for how we know how spiritual you are, how good of a leader you are. He said, no, Moses, the fire of God coming upon you, the Spirit of God coming upon you is going to be the only validation you ever need to show that you're called by me, to show that you're mine, to show that I'm going to use you. And I just went deeper and deeper into this despair over my summer. And you know, you get to that point where you're so fed up with yourself, you figure, why bother fighting against temptation? So you just start indulging. You know, then you feel even worse when you do that. I don't know if I'm reading anybody's mail right now, but listen, we can be honest in the house of God, amen? You know, until you get honest, you're going to keep falling. So listen, if it's time to open up, it's time to open up. But you know, I would just keep going in that pattern. And you know, there was one day I got to the point near the end of the summer, I was like, I can't go back. I cannot go back to school. I am not fit for Bible school. I know that nobody else had a summer like this. Nobody else messed up this summer. I'm going to go back. It's going to turn out I was the only one who failed. I just can't show my face on that campus anymore. I can't do it. And you know, the Lord spoke to me so powerfully one night. He said, and listen, it wasn't like an audible voice. You know, God speaks. He knows how to communicate to you. Don't ever think that God has to talk to you the way that he talks to somebody else. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to make himself clear to you. You keep an open heart, an open ear, you'll know when he's talking. Anyway, bet you get that for free tonight. He spoke to me and he said, Nick, you're not Jesus. And he paused. Like, he paused. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know what I mean? I could go either way with that. It's kind of loaded. And he said, and it's okay. He said, you're not Jesus, and it's okay. And something hit me in that moment. I realized, you know, you never expected me to be you. You never expected me to be Jesus. You know, when we get that on ourselves, we think we're supposed to be the Savior. We're supposed to be, and we want to save ourselves by behaving rightly. We think that we'll save ourselves from our guilt if we can go a couple days without falling into the same pit again. If we can just trim our own thorns off, so to speak, we'll save ourselves from our sense of guilt. And maybe we'll finally get it right. But that's not what validates you. Listen, don't ever fall into the trap of marking days on your calendar, how long you've gone since the last time you messed up in a specific area, because you're going to make your calendar your salvation. You're going to replace Jesus with your performance. Listen, if you want to get out of the bondage of sin, if you are stuck in a vicious cycle of sinning and repenting, there is only one mode of deliverance, and that is the Spirit of God coming upon you in power. That's it. That's it. And listen, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about him out there today. He is not some sensationalist, hyped up, emotional experience that Christians have. Or if you don't backflip over the pews or something, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, that's not what it is. Because you know what? There are people that run the aisles in church, but they have no victory when it comes to condemnation. They have no security in their salvation. The Bible says that the moment you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, and he cleans house. He cleans out all the dirt. He makes your body, your mind, your heart his home, and he lives within you. And the thing is, it doesn't stop there. Because you can be filled with him over and over and over again. He empowers you to serve God. He gives you victory over your sinful nature. He gives you victory over temptation. That's the validation, guys. Listen, it has nothing to do with how well you're doing, because you can't do well without him. And if you're forgetting him, if you're leaving behind in this whole Christian walk thing, you're never, no surprise that if you're not doing well. No surprise at all. But listen, we're all like Moses. In and of ourselves, we're really nothing special. I've got a lot of thorns. I've got a lot of them. But the reason why I'm able to walk with God, the reason why I'm able to go forward in the call of God on my life, isn't because I'm clipping off enough thorns. It's because the fire is there. And all that is, I'm not talking about, you know, a volume of your voice. I'm not talking about a demeanor or the way you present yourself. I'm simply talking about God is in you. God is in you. That was the only validation he gave to Moses. He simply, you know, Moses is there, Lord, I don't have the ability to do this. God said, I know, and I don't care. When you had the ability, I wasn't interested in using you. It's now that you know that you're nothing. Now I want to use you. Now I want to put my spirit upon you. Now I want to raise you up and get you walking in the supernatural in a way that you never have before. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're in that place where you're looking in the mirror, I really don't like that guy. I really don't like that girl. Believe it or not, you're in a good place. Listen, if you're not being honest with God and you're thinking that grace is an excuse to do what you want, I can't help you tonight. What I'm speaking tonight can't help you. I'm talking to the person, you have that honest relationship with the Lord. You want to walk with God. You want to know him and you want to serve him with all of your heart. You just feel a little stuck. Listen, he knew everything about you when he called you. He knew this moment that you would be having when he saved you. And none of it had the power to change his mind about making you a new creation and making you his child. And he's not going to throw you out for it now. He's not. Moses' thorns came up during his ministry. When you read the book of Exodus, guys, I encourage you to do that. You should be reading your Bibles, but if you're not, start in Exodus. Read the story and look at how many times Moses got angry at God while he was in Egypt trying to deliver the people of Israel. Every time God sent a plague, Pharaoh would harden his heart and say, I'm not letting you go. Moses would go back and say, God, why are you doing this? You said you'd set us free and, you know, you sent the plague and Pharaoh still hasn't listened. He would shake his fist at God after almost every single plague. His thorns kept coming out, but you know what? God never threw him away because of it. And listen, even if you've been having some very real, very raw face-to-face encounters with your thorns lately, God's not going to throw you out. You get real with him and you get right with him. But you know what? He's never going to condemn you. He's not going to beat you over the head with what you did. And he's not going to throw you out. He's not going to take away the anointing on your life. He's not going to change his mind about using you. He's not going to take back the calling that he put on you. Because look, sometimes, listen, some of you may have even come in here thinking, you know, I've been in services like this before. We got all charged up in the Holy Ghost, had some really powerful worship. You know, preacher got up and gave the word. I went to the altar call. I cried a bit, but then I went out and the real world slapped me in the face and reminded me that I'm not Joe Holy. I'm not super Christian. You know, how come I can go into a spirit-filled service like that and walk out and feel like nothing has changed? You know what, guys? I've been there. And we're going to have a lot of moments like that. But you know that you're walking in the power of the Spirit when you can have moments like that and you realize, you know what? My failure, what I just did, what just happened, that doesn't change anything. That's when you know you're walking in the Spirit. Because your failure, your weakness, your thorns don't quench the fire. The bush still had thorns on it. The fire did not burn up the thorns. They were still there. The fire didn't make the bush become a mighty oak tree. It was still a bush, even after the fire of God fell upon it. And you know, as Christians, the change in our life can be very slow at times, but it's real and it happens. Let the Holy Spirit do in you what he wants to do, and you're going to see him take you into very miraculous places, and it's going to be amazing. Amen? That's all I've got. Let's stand tonight and let the Lord do the rest. Because, you know, guys, at the end of the day, his power is really all we have. It's all we have. You could be the most talented, gifted person in the world. You could be able to put on a great show. You could be a great speaker. You could be a great this, a great that. That's not going to save the world. It's not. If I go out and try to do what I'm doing tonight in my own strength and not under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's going to accomplish nothing. And you know, God, there's an Egypt out there, and there's people that are enslaved in that Egypt. And God has called you. This message is really about you becoming what God has called you to be so that you can go out there and give them what they need. That's what this message is about tonight. And the good part of it is the weight is not on your shoulders. God expects, I tell my students this all the time, God literally expects one thing from you, is that you trust him. Because out of that, if you really trust someone, you will be honest with them. If you really trust someone, you will obey them because you know that their commands are for your good. If you really trust someone, there will be a natural love that flows out of that. That's it. The whole key to this Christian thing is faith. You believe him, you trust him, and he takes care of the rest. And if you're here tonight and you just want the Lord, God, I've been having some serious thorn issues lately, been having some serious face-to-face encounters with myself, and I just need you to remind me one more time that you're not going to throw me out, that you're not going to throw me in the garbage, even though it's what I feel like I deserve. The Holy Spirit's going to comfort you tonight. And he's going to give you a fresh touch. And if you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight, you came to feel this out, like, all right, what is this whole Christianity thing? Look, nobody in here is claiming to be perfect. We are all messed up in a lot of ways at the end of the day. But we're loved by an almighty God who is bigger than any of our failures. And it's because of his greatness that I don't have to worry about how great I am. I don't have to be enough because my God is enough. And there's no comfort, there's no peace, there's no joy like living in that. So if you fall under any of those categories, God is speaking to you, I encourage you to come, just as we take some time to worship and pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord God Almighty, we thank you, Jesus, that you were not intimidated by what you saw in our hearts, Lord, when you first found us, God. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that when we first came and bent our knee to you and said, Jesus, I need a Savior. Will you be my Savior? Lord, I thank you, God, that you didn't look in our hearts and say, you've got a little too much going on in there right now. You go fix it up and then we'll talk. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you took us with all of our thorns. You took us with all of our struggles, with all of our sin. God, I thank you that by your blood, you defeated sin's power, you defeated Satan's power, and now we're victorious in you. Jesus, I thank you that we are not a defeated people. God, I thank you, Lord, that if we feel defeated, it's nothing more than that. It's a feeling. It's not true. The truth is that in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is that he has raised us up and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The truth of the matter is that we are filled with the Spirit, and that if we walk in him, we will not fulfill the lusts of our sinful nature. That's the truth of the matter. That's the truth. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, oh God, that you would persuade the hearts of my brothers and sisters to believe what God says about them. Lord, I pray that you would override everything the devil's been whispering in their ear. I pray that you would override everything that their own heart has been telling them. And I pray that you would assure them of their salvation. You would assure them of your pleasure upon them, that you delight in them, that you are pleased with them, that they are not a disappointment to you. Jesus, I thank you that we are in Christ. That's our position. In other words, God would have to think that Jesus was a disappointment before he could ever think that we were a disappointment, because we are in him. That's who we are. That's what we are. We are in Christ Jesus. What the Father thinks about the Son, that's what he thinks about us, because we're in the Son. God the Father is as pleased with you as he is with his Son, Jesus Christ. Not because of anything that you've done, but because of his Son's perfect obedience. Jesus earned that place for us because we could never earn it for ourselves. Jesus, we thank you that that's our identity now. That is who we are. That is what we are. You have made us that by your Spirit, and you will keep us there by your Spirit, oh God. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that if we want to be kept, you're going to keep us, God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus Christ, that you have only required one thing of us, is that we simply trust you. We simply believe you, that we take you at your word. I thank you, God, that Christianity is not complicated. I rebuke that lie tonight that would be telling anybody that this is too difficult, this is too complicated. That's a lie. Lord, I thank you, God, that every time I thought this faith was difficult, I came to the end of that road and realized I was doing it to myself. That all the while you were simply saying, just trust me and I'll take care of the rest. Just believe me. I've got you. I've got you covered. I've got tomorrow covered. I've got yesterday covered. I've got yesterday's failures all covered under my blood. I've got tomorrow's troubles all taken care of. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in next year. I'll meet you in those areas of fear. I'll meet you in those places where you think you're going to be defeated by temptation. I'll be there waiting for you. God, I thank you that you've got us covered, Lord. God, forgive us for every time we've tried to cover ourselves with our own good works, with our own sense of righteousness, trying to earn your love. God, I thank you that that's not who you are, Lord. God, I thank you that you've got us covered in every area of life. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're more than enough, that you've not called us to be great, oh God, because you are great. You have not called us to be enough because you are enough, oh Lord. You've simply called us to rest in the reality of who you are.
Yes, God, thank you,
God. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can go out and share this gospel. Because we're just one beggar telling another beggar where the bread's at. That's all it is. Lord, we're just thorn-covered shrubs, little insignificant thorn-covered shrubs, going out to tell the other thorn-covered shrubs the fire of God can come upon you. Something incredible can happen to you. You can be loved by an almighty God. You can be delivered from your sin. You can be forgiven of your past failures. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that at the end of the day, it's all going to be because of you, God. No one will ever be able to take any credit. No one will be able to say, I did that, I did this, I made that happen. No one will ever be able to say that, God. You will get all the glory. You will get all the glory. And Lord, we give you the glory tonight. God, where we've taken your glory from you because we've tried to make it about us. God, forgive us, Lord. Lord, take your rightful place in our hearts. Take your rightful place in our salvation, God. And Lord, I pray for any that came down tonight, Lord, who have never known you before. Lord, they've never been in a relationship with God. This is all new territory, but they know this is what they need. God, I pray that you would come upon them by your Spirit, Lord. Jesus, I pray that something would just click in their hearts to know something's happened to me tonight. I'm saved. God, I pray that you would take away the guilt that they feel over the things that they've done. God, I pray that you would heal them of the wounds that life has inflicted upon them. God, I pray that you would let them walk out of here tonight feeling like brand new people. And Lord, I pray that you would let them get plugged into a good church where they can get fed and they can grow up to be everything that you've called them to be, Lord God. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for that song that we sang earlier that we're going forward, God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that we can know we're going to go forward. You're not going to let us fall backward, God. You're going to carry us there. You're going to carry us, oh God, into everything that you have for us, Lord. Jesus, we give you all the glory tonight, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, give God some praise. Guys, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Patrick after this. You're going to go forward. You know, there's a verse when you read in Romans chapter 8, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, what is God saying there? He's saying, listen, I've written the destiny of every person who will ever believe in me throughout history. The destiny of every person who makes the decision, I'm going to make Jesus Christ my Savior. I need this gospel. I'm a sinner. The decision that you have made tonight. God says, I've already written out your destiny. You're going to be like my son. You're going to walk like him. You're going to walk in his power. You're going to walk in his strength. You're going to represent him in the earth, and I'm going to make it happen. It's not up to you to do it. It's not up to you to make it happen. God's going to do the work in you. Just remember, if you're in that place, you get real and you get right. If that's what you need to do, you take care of that. If you got to do it a couple times a day, do it a couple times a day. But you know what? The Lord is never going to throw you out with the garbage. He loves you. He's got you. And he's not going to let you go. Be blessed.